Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What is so amazing about Mormon grace? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For several years now, prior to the beginning of the Mormon Miracle Pageant in Manti, Utah, the Mormons have played over the loudspeaker the song Amazing Grace. Now, I admit that when I hear this being played, and they play it on bagpipes, I get a little bit worked up about this. And what I've often done at that time is to ask Mormons that are walking by, what is so amazing about your grace? I ask them if they are familiar with the words of the song that they are playing over the loudspeakers. And it's amazing that I don't get a lot of takers that want to explain this to me. But the reason I want to talk about this is because that song was written by a man named John Newton. And if you know anything about John Newton's background, it's an incredible story. And if you've never read his biography, I encourage you to do so. But Newton was born in London on July 24th, 1725. Interesting the date, July 24th, Pioneer Day here in Utah. He was actually the son of a commander of a merchant ship, and his father used to sail the Mediterranean as a merchant. And when John was merely 11, he went to sea with his father. And according to the biographies that I've read, he made 6 voyages with him before his father retired. But then in 1744, John was impressed into service on a British man-o-war, a military navy vessel called the HMS Harwich. And he did not like being on that man-o-war, and he deserted. He was recaptured, publicly flogged and such. But finally, at his own request, he was exchanged into service on a slave ship. And this slave ship took John Newton to the coast of Sierra Leone. And this is really the beginning of his career, if you will, as a slave trader. And he became the servant of a man who had been involved in slave trading for many years. And he was very much abused by this man and by this man's mistress. And so in 1748, he was rescued by a sea captain who happened to know John's father. He had some interesting connections, but John had a really bad attitude. This guy, he would admit that in his diary, at just an awful person that he was. Well, there was a storm at sea, and John Newton had this religious experience, and it changed his life from that point on. But interesting enough, he still continued to be involved in slave trading after having a profession of faith in Christ. Now, some of us might say that seems very odd. Why was he still doing that? That's a great question. Even John Newton wondered that later on in his life, why he would still be involved in such a horrible practice. But the fact is that John still had this assurance of his salvation. And it was because John Newton realized that he was such a loathsome human being that the grace of God in his life meant that much more to him. So when I hear Amazing Grace being played over the loudspeakers at the Mormon Miracle Pageant, I have to wonder, why in the world would Mormons see fit to play that song?
In June of 2014, Bill, you heard that presentation of Amazing Grace, and you started to ask the audience, what's so amazing about Mormon grace? And a group of people stayed around, and you actually had about a 15-minute conversation. You go to our website, mrm.org, go to the videos at the very top where it says New Videos, What's So Amazing About LDS Grace. I think it would be fun for a lot of people to watch what
well,
you did.
There were some people that were there, and what ultimately happened was that there was a group of young people. You don't see their faces immediately in the filming that you did. You see me talking and asking the question, what is so amazing about Mormon grace? And nobody says anything. And I say, what, no takers? You would think someone would want to tell me about what's so amazing about Mormon grace. Ultimately, I end up talking to a small group of young people. And one Mormon has criticized me on that, saying, well, why did you pick on, you know, young people. For one, they're one of the few groups of people that actually want to talk. Because at Manti, we do get a lot of young people that are interested in what we have to say. Many of them are getting ready to go on missions. And so they think perhaps that they could try out their expertise on Mormonism with us. And I don't mind them practicing on me at all. But I had to go through some of the words of the song because I knew they probably were not familiar with it. Because if I remember correctly, they don't play the song Amazing Grace with the words.
They don't.
It's merely the music. And so I said to them, this song says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Don't you have a t-shirt with that line? That saved a wretch like me?
There is a t-shirt that says that I'm the wretch the song talks about. I do own a shirt like that, but I wasn't wearing it that evening. But the point is that John Newton, in saying that saved a wretch like me, John Newton didn't think he was just a wretch before he was saved. He thought he was a wretch after he was saved. And I think all of us as Christians, as New Testament Christians, understand that despite the fact that we are justified by our faith in Christ, we still are a work in progress, and we are still, by our actions, you would say, if we are judged by our actions, loathsome in the sight of God, because we are sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. Now, my point is this. Newton says, I once was lost, but now am found. He had an assurance that that grace was so much a part of his life that no matter what, God was there. When he says, I once was lost, now you ask a Latter-day Saint if they know where they're going after they die, many of them will tell you they don't know. Well, folks, if you don't know where you're going, you're probably lost. John Newton knew where he was going. He knew what that grace entailed, and he knew what it did in his life. He was blind, but now he saw this.
And he understood what forgiveness was all about.
Absolutely, and that's one thing you do know about John Newton, because he eventually became an Anglican minister. He was very much involved with the Baptist movement in England and the Methodists in England, but eventually he becomes an Anglican minister and had a very successful ministry and also was a well-known hymn writer. I mean, Amazing Grace was only one of many.
Now, you need to notice that saved a wretch like me is past tense, that once he believed. In fact, the second stanza says this, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
And again, that's a verse I don't think Mormons can sing with a full assurance, because it was grace that taught his heart to fear, and it was this same grace that relieved him of those fears. And I go back to that question that I've asked many Latter-day Saints, do you have the assurance that you're going to be in the celestial kingdom? And they don't. They have this fear that they may not end up in the celestial kingdom. Newton, though he certainly didn't believe in the Mormon concept of the celestial, terrestrial, or telestial kingdom, definitely had an assurance that that grace was there the hour he first believed. What grace was it? This enabling power that Mormons like to talk about? No, it was not only an enabling power that caused him to live a holy life, but also it was that grace that made his sins be forgiven. He knew that the hour he first believed. And in the next stanza, he knew that that grace, that particular grace, was the grace that was going to lead him home. In one of the stanzas, it reads, The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. Mm. There's that assurance again that John Newton talked about often, and he was constantly emphasizing through his life this great and matchless grace that was poured upon sinful believers, including himself. Again, I don't think I can stress it enough. He saw himself throughout his life as being this wretch that he talks about in that first stanza. He knew he was a fallen sinner, but trusting in that grace that he most graciously gave to him as a believer. When he says, his word, my hope secures, his security wasn't in his works.
Right.
He knew that. He knew his works were horrible for the most part. But he knew that he was secure in the hope he had in what? In what Christ did for him. That's what the context of this verse is talking about. And then in the next verse, he says, "Yea, when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace."
He had an assurance of salvation.
That's the whole point I want to make. Because in talking with Latter-day Saints, many of them don't have it. And you know why they don't have it? Is because Mormonism robs it from them.
Well, listen to what Spencer Kimball says in The Miracle of Forgiveness, page 206. "One of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God, that belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation." And he also said on page 207 of that same book, "And however powerful the saving grace of Christ, it brings exaltation to no man who does not comply with the works of the gospel."
You see that pattern even in the writings of Mormon philosophers. For instance, this is Sterling McMurrin, and he was a Mormon philosopher in his book, The Theological Foundations of the Mormon Religion, page 83. "The meaning of the grace of God given through the atonement of Christ is that man by his freedom can now merit salvation." You see, John Newton would have never said that. And this is why when Mormons play the song Amazing Grace before the pageant begins, it's so upsetting to me, because certainly their grace is not amazing at all.
What would you think that John Newton would say about 2 Nephi 25:23, which says we're saved by grace after all we can do?
I think John Newton would flatly declare that to be a heresy, as it is a heresy. Let me read one more stanza. John Newton said this in the song Amazing Grace. "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. His longing was to be in the presence of his Savior, to sing praises to God eternally." And yet, that's not something I find a lot of Latter-day Saints are looking forward to do. Their heaven's all about being with family, not being with Jesus.
I might say that this song seems out of place to be taking place at the Mormon Miracle Pageant.
I do too, and it amazes me, to play on words, that the Mormon Church, or whoever, decided to include that in the list of songs they play before the pageant starts. I have to wonder, why in the world are they playing it if they really don't believe what that song says?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore.